Have you ever been in the dark? I'm talking about the dark, dark. Pitch black, total darkness. It's actually hard to find these places in the world. Even when we go out at night, there is so much light generated all around us. Cars, buildings, streetlights, billboards. It's hard to escape manufactured light. There's light pollution all around us to break the darkness. And if you want to clearly see the stars, you have to drive out of town 10, 20 miles. But when you get there, the natural light breaks the darkness with the stars and the moon. Have you ever found total darkness? Several years ago, I went caving and I journeyed almost a mile down into a massive hole in the earth. And now, this was a real cave, not a tourist cave like Blanchard Springs, where there's a lighted path and there are lights to illuminate the rock formations. This was a hole in the ground that we had to crawl on our bellies into, and once we got down into this massive cavernous room, we hiked all around from room to room through crevices and small passageways, ducking and crawling. When we got in a good ways, our guide had us all turn our flashlights off so that we could experience what total darkness was like. It was so dark that we held our hands in front of our faces just a few inches and we couldn't make it out. Not even a shadow. It was that dark. No light whatsoever. If this is how hard it is to find literal physical darkness, I think maybe the real darkness of this world is a spiritual darkness that we all walk through. It's much easier to find that spiritual darkness. That kind of darkness is unavoidable. No one is immune. Suffering and pain in life are as sure as the sun rises. And because suffering is subjective and relative, it comes in so many ways. Maybe the darkness is that empty seat at the dining table this year. Maybe it's the credit card debt that hangs over you like a boulder teetering on the edge. Maybe it's that diagnosis that you've received or a loved one has received and you wonder how many Christmases you've got. Maybe it's the pain of month after month waiting for that pregnancy or the crushing disappointment of yet another miscarriage. Maybe it's a job loss or the job hunt that's not going well. Or maybe it's yet another night you couldn't go without a drink. There are so many forms of spiritual darkness, and they are so dark that they make the physical darkness seem easy to maneuver. It's so dark you can hold your hand in front of your face and not see a thing. When the darkness is this intense, we crave as much light as possible. We want a light so intense that it fills every corner and crevice of life. We want a tractor beam, Hollywood spotlight, light up the night light. Such was the darkness of the people of Israel and Judah. As Isaiah describes them, they lived in a land of deep darkness. It was a poor land to begin with, rocky soil that produced few crops, and there's very little potable water. And then they suffered what seemed like a never-ending series of invasions by foreign powers who ruled them with cruelty and oppression. And many of them were sent to live in exile, not just far from home, but far from the temple in Jerusalem, which to them meant they were sent away from God. This is the kind of darkness that needs the brightest of lights. And so they prayed for the light that would drive away every shadow. They prayed for a Messiah, the promised one of God. And they expected a Messiah that would come in with a great show of force and save the day. This Messiah would have a massive army to defeat their oppressors. This Messiah would boldly restore the government of their kingdom. This Messiah needs to be strong, forceful, and mighty. In this kind of darkness, they need the light of 1,000 suns. But then we read about the promise of this Messiah in Isaiah, and frankly, it's a little underwhelming. Isaiah says, "A shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." A shoot? A branch? We need more than that. We need the whole tree. We need it as big as a redwood and as strong as hickory. Not just a shoot, not a root. And then the spirit of wisdom and understanding will rest on him. The spirit of counsel and knowledge, righteousness and faithfulness will be the belt around his waist. No, that's soft stuff. That's too slow. That stuff is weak. We need strength and power. We need floodlights, not pin lights. And the Messiah we got wasn't the mighty king who took the rightful throne we expected. As Isaiah says, a little child shall lead them. So instead, it was a baby born to a family from the hill country. So poor he had to sleep out with the animals. And even when he grew up, this Messiah talked about things like forgiveness and nonviolence. He said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." And he said, "The strongest thing in this world is to love without conditions." Instead of a show of force, he talked about laying down one's life. The light of the Messiah feels more like the soft glow of a candle. But here's the thing. A little light goes a long way. There's no amount of darkness that can't be broken by the smallest light. That's just physics. It's different from fire and water. Fire is something. If you can have a fire that is so big and so intense that when you throw water on it, the water just evaporates. But darkness isn't anything. It's the absence of light. So when you add light, it's no longer nothing. It's something. So even the tiniest speck of light breaks the darkness, no matter how dark. So sometimes we don't need those big, bright lights. We just need any light, some light. I mean, think about how you can get up in the middle of the night and go to the kitchen and get a glass of water with nothing but the light from the clock on your microwave. It's just enough. In fact, too much light can be blinding. I mean, think about how a car with its brights on keeps you from being able to see the road. Or you have to wear sunglasses to see better. Big, intense light leaves spots in our eyes. Perhaps the light of this Messiah, the root of Jesse, is more subtle. More gentle. The light of Christ is not overpowering, but simply illuminating. And maybe that's all we need. One of my favorite authors, Anne Lamott, says that when driving a car at night, you can only see as far as the headlights. But you can make a whole journey that way. When we walk in darkness, the light of Christ doesn't take away all the darkness. It simply illuminates the path in front of us, and by that, we can make the whole journey. A lifelong journey. An eternal journey. Not long ago, a friend shared with me how she got a call from her best friend, telling her she was having a miscarriage. In the midst of the struggle with infertility, she and her husband had been so excited when this pregnancy was successful through in vitro fertilization. But this was devastating news. So dark, they couldn't see their hands in front of their faces. So my friend rushed to her friend's house and said she said she wanted to take away all of the pain and fix it for them. But she couldn't. She was powerless and weak in the face of their suffering. She wanted to flood their darkness with light, but all she had was a flickering candle. So she did the only thing she could. She sat with them. She cried with them. She held their hands. She hugged them. She didn't try to say things that would make them feel better. She didn't assure them that everything would be okay or make suggestions like maybe you should do this or that. She didn't try to distract them by counting their blessings. In fact, she didn't say anything at all. She didn't do anything. She just was. But remember, darkness is nothing. Light is something. And after a while, she got up and rummaged around in their kitchen and made them a little bit of dinner. She gave their daughter a bath and got them situated for the night, and she slipped out the door. It wasn't bright, but just enough to make the journey. On that day, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the people. The nation shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. In the deepest darkness of the world, this Advent, perhaps all we need is the illumination of a few flickering candles.